I'd like for us this evening to think about a subject that maybe can encourage us a little bit, and that is the working of God. There's a passage of Scripture that's found in Romans 8 and verse 28. Most of us can quote it. Most of us know what it says, and yet many times I think this passage is applied in a way that really it never was intended to apply. People try to fit it in various things. In Romans 8, 28, Paul said, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, as we read that passage, we need to understand that God is good. Therefore, anything that God does is good. Now, when you think about what that really says, God is good. So anything that God does has to be good. In Mark chapter 10, you remember there in verse 17, Jesus was setting out on a journey and a man ran up to Him, knelt down before Him, and began asking Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call Me good? No one is good except God alone." So Jesus said, God is good. Now, since God is good, then everything that God does has to be good. God works according to His plan. That includes what He does, it includes how He does it, and when He does it. And this is where we get into a problem a lot of times, because we don't understand why God did what He did. We don't understand how God could let this happen to this person, or we don't understand why this person at this time in their life that these things happened, or other things like that, or maybe we're facing a crisis and we pray and we don't see an immediate response. And so we begin to question whether or not God really is keeping His Word. We don't put it that way, but that's really what we're saying. Is God really keeping His Word, His promise to us? Well, God does keep His Word. And God acts according to His plan for us. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11, says in Him, talking about Christ, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." You see, God has a plan, God has a purpose, and just like He had a purpose in the bringing of Jesus Christ at the time He brought Jesus Christ into the world, so it is He has a plan that continues on and includes you and includes me. Our lack of understanding and our lack of faith do not change the working of God. So many times I have talked with people, and because they don't understand how God is doing this, or they don't understand why God would let this happen, or they don't understand why this timing is like it is, they begin to question whether or not God really is in control, whether or not God really does care. I want to consider Abraham. Remember Abraham, God had promised him a son, and finally, when he's 100 years old, he has a son. And now, about 12, 13 years later, God appears to him and said, "Abraham, won't you take this special son that I've given you, won't you carry him over to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice." You know, I can't help but think, if I had been Abraham, I would have thought, "God, you're crazy. Surely not." Now, you tell me from a human perspective how Abraham could have reasoned that there was anything about that that was good, that there was anything about that that was logical, that made sense, or anything else. And yet God had a purpose. In fact, we are told of two purposes that God had. First of all, He was testing Abraham to see if Abraham would put him first ahead of his son, and he did. Secondly, He allowed Isaac to live through that because He knew that it was through Isaac that Jesus would eventually come into the world. God had a plan. It wasn't just a random act. It wasn't just something that happened accidentally to Abraham. God had a plan in this, and He allowed it to happen for a purpose. Jacob deceived Esau, you remember, and got the birthright from him. And I suspect if you had talked to Esau after he got over being hungry and he realized that he had given away his birthright, that he would have thought that God had, number one, had anything to do with it, and if he did think God had something to do with it, he wouldn't have been nice about what he said about God. If you had talked to Jacob, he would have said, "Boy, look what I've done. I pulled a good one on him, didn't I?" He didn't know God was working in him. He had no idea that God was using all of this for a purpose. He deceived his father Isaac. His father was old, he was blind, and he went in, you remember, and he pretended to be Esau, and Jacob got the blessing. Now he had the birthright and he had the blessing both. You think Esau thought, "Man, this is the working of God"? No, he didn't. He said, "My brother's a deceiver, and as soon as my daddy's dead, I'm going to kill him." You see, there was no rhyme or reason there. Jacob probably was thinking, "Man, I made a mistake now, because now I've got to flee for my life and leave my home and leave my family." And so he left. You see, there's no way for them to reason how God is working in this, but God is working toward having Jesus to come through Jacob. Jacob's son, Joseph, was sold by his brothers into slavery. And as we picture that scene where this probably about 17-year-old boy was taken by his older brothers and thrown into a dry well, planning to leave him there to die, and then seeing this band of slave traders come by, they pulled him out and they sold him as a slave. Now, can you imagine how Joseph was thinking, "Boy, I see God working in my life"? No. Joseph was thinking, "Boy, God's always good to me"? No. "I know it's going to be all right. God's using all this for something good." No, he didn't think that either. You see, the fact is, there was nothing that he could reason that this was good and that things were happening right. And so he got down into Egypt and he's sold to this guy and he does really good and he's promoted. And finally, he thinks, "Man, things are starting to work and things are starting to do good." And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. When he refused, she lied about him and he's thrown in prison. You think he thought, "Boy, this is a good thing, isn't it?" You see, he couldn't see what God was doing. He had no idea that God was using all this. Now later on, he did realize, and he told his brothers. He said, told his brothers when they came down to buy grain, eventually, you remember, he said, "You did this as a bad thing to me, but God has used all of this to put me in a position to save our family." So God's plan was being carried out. You remember the story of Job and how he lost everything? Job never understood why all these things happened to him. But the fact is, God was doing something and God had a plan. And I believe that today, for you and for me, that God has a plan for us and our lives and for the things that He wants us to accomplish. And we need to open up our hearts and open up our lives and allow God to work in us. But what about when we get into things we shouldn't? What about sin in our lives? If we really love God and we give in to temptation and we sin, God can even use that in His plan. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed, Uriah, his friend, had him killed to cover it up. Have you ever thought about that it was through Bathsheba that Solomon came into the world? It was through Bathsheba that Jesus' lineage came? And so we see that over and over and over again, God uses circumstances that seem to be totally out of control. In fact, there is nothing good from our perspective about the circumstances, about what happened. And yet, in every single one of them, God was using them and took those circumstances and those events and those people's lives and use them for His plan and for His purpose. God can take our lives with all of our troubles, with all of our trials, with all of our temptations, and even with our sin, if our heart is right, and He can use it for His purpose. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. For those who are called, those who love God, and those who are called according to His purpose. And so if our life has been given over to God and we love God and we're seeking to serve Him regardless of what comes, God can use it for good. God gives strength when we need it, but He also keeps us humble when we need that. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, he's talking about revelations he had seen, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to keep me from exalting myself. You see what Paul says? Paul said, God used Satan to help me. God uses everything. Even Satan is under His control. He says, concerning this thorn in the flesh that Satan gave him, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. He said, God gave it to me to keep me humble, but He gave me the strength to be able to bear it. And so God used something that seemingly was bad, that could not have been reasoned in any way from a human perspective to have been good in the Apostle Paul, and He used it for His good and for His ability to preach the gospel. Paul says, therefore I am well content with weakness, with insult, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So God gives strength when we need it, but He also keeps us humble. God uses our experiences to mold us and to make us like Him. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, He says, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now notice what He says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. That's what Paul says. Paul says, God is working in you. God is using whatever circumstances you are in to work in you His good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 7 and 8. God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. And so he says, God has called us for the purpose of living for Him and making us like Him and molding us to be what He wants us to be. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so it is God who works in us through His Spirit to make us to be like Him. Since we believe that God is working in us according to His plan for His purpose, then we must not fret and we must not worry about things in our lives. Regardless of what we face, we have no reason, if we really believe this, don't you think about it, if we really believe that God is in control, He has a purpose and a plan, then regardless of what happens to me or how it happens, I have no reason to fret or to worry because God is in control. My job is just trust Him and pray about it. That's what we need to do. We need to just trust God and pray about it. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing. The opposite of that is, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. 2 Peter 2, he says, verse 7. He says, if he rescued, talking about God, if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. Now leave out that parenthesis and read it again. If he rescued righteous Lot, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Whatever temptation we face, if we will trust God and we will pray about it, God can deliver us from that temptation. God's purpose is for us to live with Him in eternity. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what is the good? What is the purpose? The good and the purpose that God has in mind for us and His plan for us is that we will be made like Him so that we can live with Him in eternity. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He's talking about our fleshly bodies. For indeed in this house, this body, this physical body, we groan longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, that is a spiritual body, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed while we're in this tent, this temporary body, we groan being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that we, what is mortal, may be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us His Spirit as a pledge. The reason God made me and the reason God made you is to go to be with Him in heaven eventually. That's God's purpose. And everything that happens, God uses it for that purpose. If we really love Him, and if we trust Him, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's purpose is for us to live with Him in eternity. Tonight, have you been called according to the purpose of God? If not, He's calling you tonight by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel says that you can come and confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sin and be baptized into Christ. And you can have the promise of eternal life in heaven. And He will work in you according to His purpose as long as you live on this earth. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.